Hello and welcome everybody to the first episode of the Action Podcast, part of the Coach's Office Podcast Network. I'm your host today, Martin Alvarez, and with us today is our regular co-host for the rest of the time that we do this podcast, and probably maybe even starting his own podcast at some point. If you want to introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ivan Salazar. I definitely am excited to be joining the action. I mean, we got live action going on right now on this football Sunday. So we got some things we want to present to you guys. But this is, yeah, we got so much things we want to get off our chest a little bit and have you join us in our journey.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time, man. I know that as much as we talk about in our coach's office, plenty of stuff that has gone that we've discussed that should have been recorded, you know, and so hopefully we're trying to get some of that on recording, and so we can share it with people. And the Action Podcast starts now.
It starts now. And just to, you know, piggyback off of that, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, the coach's office, wow. You know, there's political talk, there's, you know, locker room talk, there's sharing of goals and aspirations, there's sharing of life experiences that every coach has going on at different levels and points in their life. And it is truly a unique setting that really is inclusive, and we share a lot of topics, and you and I have been on several staffs, and every staff that I've been on, for sure, it's been exciting to be a part of the staff and just sharing the journey with them.
If you don't know, I have 16 years of coaching experience. Coach Salazar, I think it's on year 15.
You're 17, actually. You're
17. Sorry yeah, about
yes,
that.
Sir.
I jumped you 2 years there on your retirement goal. But, and just tons of stories, tons of people that we've talked to, and we spend so much time within the coach's office, you know.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, the relationships that we've created over the years and the people that we've gotten to know, some really great men. And women in our profession. And so that's going to be some of the stuff that we talk about. I mean, we're going to talk about sports, obviously, because we're both coaches, both life, but we're both fathers, we're both sons, or, you know, brothers, uncles,
we're both,
you know.
We're both strong men with Hispanic backgrounds that are doing big things in South Texas.
And we have
big aspirations, and we want to share as much knowledge as we can with our coaching brethren. You know, this is something that we're very passionate about. I linked up with who I refer to as Albie. You know, he's that's our charming character that we have here at Natalia High School. You know, I linked up with Albie when I first joined the Natalia staff. This is my first experience in small town football.
And it's
super awesome. You know, being involved with 5A, 6A for the majority of my career. And now I'm in 3A. With a wonderful staff, you know, both men and women are taking care of business. And so we share a lot of commonalities. We're passionate about hip hop. You know, we've had, you know, different experiences, you know, that are unlike some of our contemporaries growing up. And we're just super excited to be able to share this platform with you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, man. And I think we bring a different perspective now, especially because we're both the old coaches in the office, you know, this year more than any, I think we've had some really young guys come in and some first year coaches, and that's been an experience in itself. But, I mean, without further ado, I mean, today is Championship Sunday.
Yes, sir.
And I know I've been waiting for this a long time. Unfortunately, I went through the five steps of grief over my Cowboys that you see over my shoulder here. And I'm finally in acceptance, you know, and so I think, it's been about 2 weeks, and anger lasted probably the most. But now I'm wanting to watch some football, you know. And the first game was amazing. I thought it was a great game.
Well, misery loves company. So the Vikings had long been eliminated, and I've been in misery for quite a bit, and even more so now. You know, observing the teams that they're in there with the NFC North, they have strong representation in these playoffs, and so my Cowboy fans, a lot of them I know, and I'm kind of I kind of poke fun a little bit, and you guys have joined me in this gone fishing tour, you know. But yeah, so a lot of wonderful football for sure.
And that's what I keep telling myself is at least we're not the Vikings, you know.
Well, at least I'm not in Minnesota, you know, suffering through that, you know, negative degree temperature.
Yeah, at least it's been cold and misery heading into the playoffs. This afternoon, we're recording right now, close to 6 p.m. On Sunday, Championship Sunday. Mm-hmm. The first game this afternoon was the Ravens and
the Chiefs
and the Mahomes. Yeah. Great game. What, you know, any thoughts on it?
Well, the first thing I want to talk about is what a transformation Kansas City has morphed into. We always refer to them as an offensive juggernaut. You know, in the days when they had Tyreek Hill and a lot of the supporting cast that Mahomes had, you know, when he first took over Alex Smith. And now they're a defensive juggernaut. You know, it's a hard thing to do. You know, playoffs on the road, number one seed, Lamar Jackson's probably going to be the unanimous MVP. And, you know, these guys came in and took care of business. They held them to 10 points. They forced a couple of turnovers, key turnovers in the red zone. I can't say enough about what the Kansas City Chiefs have done on the defensive end with Steve Spagnuolo. You know, we know him with his championship pedigree, especially when he was there with the New York Giants in the Tom Coughlin era. And that's the number one takeaway is they're a defensive juggernaut, especially, and it started setting the tempo with the Miami Dolphins and how they undressed him in the first round.
Is the Chiefs the biggest surprise in the playoffs so far, you think? Or is it, Patrick Mahomes is now 14-3 in playoff games. 2 Super Bowls. I mean, should we have expected this? I mean,
at this point, I want to say, yes, it's an expectation, but they've been playing good football for the last 4 weeks. You know, I know they had a lot of struggles, especially offensively. A lot of receivers dropping balls, and really they rely tremendously on Rashee Rice and obviously Travis Kelce, and one of my favorite running backs. He's such a madman in Pacheco. They rely a lot on that trio and the decision making by Patrick Mahomes. But you know, I think once they started figuring things out and they committed to the run, it was kind of a perfect recipe for playoff football.
Yeah, no, I mean, Pacheco, man, he's so exciting to watch run. I mean, just what they say, he just runs angry at the ground, you know, like
he does.
Some of the things I saw on Twitter was that he runs like a when you're trying on your kid,
the Heineken place.
Yes. I mean, he's an aggressive runner and actually a decent receiver too. Really good receiver out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I the other surprise, of course, is as a Cowboys fan, was how Green Bay just thoroughly kicked out. They're all over the field, you know, and that, I think it's a testament to the Green Bay organization, you know, as far as how they draft. And what I'm most impressed is the succession plan for quarterbacks. You know, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that have been searching for a quarterback for years, you know, or recovering from someone that was an all-pro MVP type quarterback when they don't have him anymore. I mean, look at the Patriots, right?
Right.
You know, that's the way that they set up Favre to Rodgers to Love. I mean, I think it's incredible.
Organizational stability. It's no secret that gives football teams the best chance of winning. You look at the Ravens, they have that, you know. Right now, you know, I know the Lions, they are in a position where they've never been before, and they have a glimpse of the organizational stability with what Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes have built with that roster and the belief. You know, that's one of my surprises that I definitely want to emphasize on. But you're absolutely right. Like, you can't say enough about the organizational stability and the succession plan they had. 3 decades, coach. Three decades of potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks, because we know that Favre is a lock. We know Rodgers is a lock. And the way Jordan Love was playing, you know, leading into the second round, he had 22 touchdowns and one interception. He was on that type of run.
Incredible, man.
And he was having a thoroughly good game. That last throw, you know, wasn't a great decision. That was more of a rookie decision. But minus that throw, I mean, he had those guys in position to win the ball game with such a youthful cast.
Oh, big time. They're going to be a force for a long time. You know, there's a lot of young teams. I mean, the Lions, too. I mean, it took time to build it and set it up. You know what I mean? And also, the faith that they had in Dan Campbell, you know? I mean, they mm-hmm. could have given up real easily on him a long time ago and just decided to move on. And then this constant carousel of coaches that a lot of these teams have. I mean, look at Carolina. I mean, what, this is going to be their fourth coach in 5 years or whatever it is, you know? And the consistency, you know, that has come with what he's brought and the culture development. Just hard-nosed team, just like the city, I guess. You know?
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. And you know, as coaches, you know, the mentality that he brings, we find a lot of value in that. I know the casual fans, you know, probably looked at that and kind of like clown behavior, you know. And no, like the way that, you know, he gives unconditional love to his players, the way he coaches them and holds them accountable, the toughness instilled in them, like that's stuff that when we hear him talk as coaches, like, man, like you want to run through a wall for him. Imagine
put
his players.
In. Yeah, put me in. Yeah. Love him hard and coach him hard. You know, that's what I was told a long time ago by somebody that was smarter than me, you know.
Yeah.
And he definitely encompasses that, you know. Definitely coach. One of the big surprises. And, in fact, they're up 7-0 right now. San Francisco just missed a field goal.
Yes, so, I saw that. I was looking at my whiteboard, and I was just in awe. Like I talked about, like, you know, they're being my biggest surprise. Look at their last three drafts and what they were able to accomplish, you know, starting with 2021, you know, they drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's a stud. Penei Sewell, both Penei Sewell was in the first round. St. Brown was in the fourth. And then moving on to the next year, you got Aiden Hutchinson in the first, Kirby Joseph in the third, Josh Pascal in the second. And then this past draft, Jahmyr Gibbs was an absolute stud at running back, one of the top running backs in touchdowns. Jack Campbell, who's a stud at linebacker. Sam Laporta, who's a stud at tight end. And Brian Branch, who's leading the team in tackles right now in this postseason. And, you know, there's more guys that they've drafted, not to mention, you know, somebody like Dave Montgomery, who they pulled from the Bears. Jared Goff, you know, that trade, like, wow. That to me, that's the biggest surprise, you know. I hate to say it, being a Vikings fan, but, like, you know, there's this part of me where I'm you know, my hat's off to them, and I, a round of applause for those guys because, boy, they got a lot of stability and a lot of youth ready to roll.
Yeah, no, it's been a great organizational development, understanding that it was going to take some time, and, I mean, they're going to be tougher for a long time, you know. So, you know, I mean, just it's the way it should, you know. Some teams do it right, you know, it's taken them 30 years, but they seem to have finally figured out a formula for it, you know. Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, the Cowboys are still scratching their heads. I mean, the whole fan base is reeling. A lot of money. This was their chance, and it'll be interesting offseason in the NFL and for the Dallas Cowboys for sure.
And let me ask you this, Alvy, like, you know, the Cowboys have been successful in the regular season, right? You know, 12 wins, you know, that's not nothing to sneeze at. Like, those guys are getting after it. You know, they were a juggernaut at home. As you move into this offseason, I know there's been some swirling questions about, is Dak the guy? You know, is Mike McCarthy the guy as the head coach? And they've committed to stay with Mike McCarthy, and I'm, you know, I'm pretty sure that that's the same for Dak Prescott. But what do you think that is a missing ingredient for those guys there?
You can tell by my face it pains me to talk about it, but you know, when I went through the stages of grief over the Dallas Cowboys, you know, at first it was denial, right? You know, then what is it? Anger, and then depression, and then acceptance, or some form of order in that, right? And I've gone through all of those things, but I've also, I hear lately, especially in listening to the experts and thinking about it analytically, Because if he'd have told me 2 weeks ago, hey, we're just going to run it back, you know, like I was pissed. You know, mm-hmm. how are you going to run it back? Like that was not a good showing at all. Like, you know, not what we expected, not of what they were capable of doing. And there's a lot of blame to go around. I mean, obviously, Dak did not have a good game, which seems to be his MO, but, I mean, you know, he's 2-5, I think, in playoff games. But he did have one of the best offensive seasons that he's had in his career. You know, mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb had a breakout year. You know, the offensive line is pretty well. But they have 16 free agents coming up, mm-hmm. and they owe Dak $59 million. So
my goodness.
Yeah. So you know,
he's taking all the loot.
Yeah, so the plan was is that he would have some success in the playoffs, and then they restructure his deal because they're not going to be able to re-sign any of those 16 free agents. Some of them are pretty key, you know. I think Gallimore, Tyron Smith, they need two extensions for CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of money that's going to have to be spent. To me, I think that they, of course, I'm not in charge or, you know, anything, but I think you go to Dak and you say, hey, man, look, we're not that far away. You know, we're right on the cusp, but we're going to have to help. You have to help us out. And, you know, I mean, look at Tom Brady. For years would take less money so that they mm-hmm. could sign a receiver or, you know, an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or whatever, you know, because we also need help. I mean, you know, defensive line and linebacker help, you know, which was the biggest issue to me in that playoff game was they just ran the ball down our throat, you know. The Buffalo Bills in the regular season are a throwing team, and then all of a sudden they, you know, they make their running back look like he's an all-pro, you know. You know, that's the biggest deal. That's the biggest issue. You can't trade him because, like most people don't know, but if you trade a player, you still have to, you still take the cap hit. So mm-hmm. it's still $59 million if you trade him. If you cut him, I think they would, it'd be like a $39 million hit instead of a $59 million hit, but that's only if they cut him here within like the next week or something like that. So I don't think that's going to happen. So you're stuck with him. I mean, we're stuck with Dak, you know? I feel like he's, you know, if you remember a few years back before they got Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, you know, Andy Dalton was winning games. They were winning mm-hmm. the division. He just wasn't able to win playoff games. And at some point they decided, hey, you know what? We're not going to win with Andy Dalton. Look at the Chiefs, right? Alex Smith was a good quarterback. You know, mm-hmm. I think they had gone two rounds the year before they got Mahomes, but they saw some, you know what? This is not going to make it, you know, but he's 32 years old. This is, you know, he's had plenty of opportunities, I think, and it's not going to happen. But at the same time, realistically, I don't think that there's a whole lot we can do. Now, the best bet is that there is some type of succession plan, which is, I think, why they brought in Trey Lance. You know, we don't know what right. he can do. You know, I mean, he played a minimal amount of games in San Francisco. Wasn't bad. He was a rookie, you know, and didn't get to develop. And so hopefully that's the succession plan. But we're stuck with Dak, and I think they'll restructure probably for another 5-6 years in order to be able to sign other players. And as far as Mike McCarthy, I mean, 3-12-1 seasons is nothing to joke at, to laugh at. And he's also, like, as far as playoff wins, I think he's like top four in the history of the NFL for playoff wins or something. So, you know,
he's a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, coach, to your point, like, you're seeing a lot of teams throughout the league, you know, go to the formula of, you know, having a cheaper quarterback. I liken it back to when Seattle had the Legion of Boom and Russell Wilson had, he was still on his rookie contract, and those guys were able to capitalize on success and distribute the money elsewhere. You know, the 49ers are doing the same deal. You know, Brock Purdy is an excellent quarterback, and obviously Mr. Irrelevant, they were able to draft him at the last pick, and he's turned out to be a marvelous addition. He's able to distribute the ball. And I look at the Cowboys, and I'm not scared at anybody but CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's the only game breaker that the Cowboys have. If you assess the league, you know, you talk about the 49ers, they got Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk before you even get to Kittle, right. You know.
A lot of weapons. Yeah, there's a lot of
weapons. A lot of weapons. And that's part of the rise of the Ravens, and they've taken the next step is they've gotten some weapons, you know, for Lamar Jackson. And so you have all these offenses that have multiple weapons. And then when you get to Dallas, you have CeeDee Lamb. And then you're not going to commit to the run as much as you should, you know, with Pollard and
right.
And then he had some uncertainty coming back from an injury and such. So that's number one. Number two, coach, like it's a head scratcher because you look at Micah Parsons. He's such a force, you know. He's but such a force defensively.
But is he really? You know, I've thought about this. I mean, you know, everybody's like, oh, he's the next Lawrence Taylor, like, you know. If he was in Minnesota right now, if Micah Parsons was in Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had, what, 13 sacks this season?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody think he's the next Lawrence Taylor?
No, I don't think he's Max Crosby right now. You know, you talk about, the Bosas, the Crosbys of the world.
He's not Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson's another one. Miles Garrett is one of the scariest ones. Chris Jones from the Chiefs. You know, he's not one of those, every down influence in the play, but he should be. And that's the head scratcher for me. Like, I see the talent level there, the ferocity of what he plays football with. But I don't know if there's a correlation of being strictly now a down lineman. You know, I know that there was a lot of, you know, shifting back and forth, to linebacker and defensive end. As an offensive line coach, that's a lot to account for when you got such a piece like that to move around and figure out how to neutralize that. So, you know, I look at those two factors, you know, the big play capabilities, you know, with just only exclusively with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, right? Now you have Bland, who did a very good job that stepped in, for injured Diggs, this year. And I thought he did a phenomenal job, you know, and it didn't work out, you know, with the juggernaut that the Packers display in that playoff game, you know, and they were playing hot football, man. So let's not get that twisted. They were playing playoff football 3 weeks before playoffs started. So they just, you know, the Cowboys just kind of ran into a bus saw at that point. But
and the Cowboys do draft well. I mean, all those guys that you talked about there, Mike Parsons, Deron Bland, Tyler Smith. I mean, we draft. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys draft really well. They really draft really well. So, I mean, my hope is that they get a linebacker help, defensive line help, in the draft, see what's out there free agency wise. But, like, again, we're pretty cash strapped as far as that's concerned because of Dak's contract, you know. Honestly, I think the biggest letdown in that game was defense more than anything else, you know, and that's something that people don't really talk about. The defense was great all year, but the deficiency was once we lost Van Der Esch, I think Overshawn, if he would have had a chance to play this year, would have done well. But our linebackers were undersized. I think Micah Parsons could have played some inside linebacker. That's what he played in college. We have plenty of defensive ends. Just never made that switch. And then in the game itself, I mean, you're playing six secondary against a team that's trying to run the ball down your throat. I mean, you don't have to be a coach to know that that's not a good idea. Or when you've been playing man all year and then all of a sudden you switch to playing zone for some reason. I mean, you know, not to second guess what they were doing, but it didn't work. And it wasn't much adjustment. And that's kind
that
of
was baffling.
Yeah,
it's kind that of was baffling most, for sure.
Most frustrating thing, you know, and of course Dan Quinn is now up for you know, it looks like being linked to Seattle. You know, of course he was the Legion of Doom, defensive coordinator, and you know, but it might be time for somebody else to take the helm and kind of reinvigorate some guys on the defensive side of the ball. I think as far as Micah Parsons goes, he just got to do less talking and more beast mode, you know, more about that action. Like, you know, it's not gonna, the more you talk and you go on your podcast every day is not it. And then,
yeah, it is tough for professional athletes, you know. I do like seeing this era of them taking control of their narrative. You know, that's that's definitely something that I would encourage. You know, but as a coach, right, we, you know, you're in the moment, you know, you're in the spotlight, you know, you're playing for, you know, air quotes, America's team, you know, and, I would say that, yeah, your action needs to, definitely to back up the talk that you're talking on your podcast, or just, you know, your general observations, you know, and it's definitely a fine line to walk, you know, for us, especially us as coaches. You know, we're going to do this endeavor and we're going to have to line up and coach against our contemporaries and they're going to, you know, there is some, you know, sometimes some jealousy and some ego that's involved in this whole ordeal and such. And that's understandable, you know, so, but it's definitely something that we all got to manage if you're going to be in this game.
Well, it was disappointing too to see, because here last week or whatever, you know, Dak's brother was on social media, the damn social media, right? But he's on social media. I wish Dak would leave, you know. Well, he's not going anywhere. There's nothing he can do. CeeDee Lamb's mom wanting CeeDee Lamb to go to Houston. You know, Michael Parsons' brother telling Dak he needs to take less money, you know. I mean, they're fans like we are, I suppose, at a certain extent, but they're also family members.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, the only thing that irks me about that is because they're entitled to their opinion, but there wasn't really a lot of defense coming back from the guys, you know, like it wasn't like, no, he's our guy, like, you know, he's our man, you know, kind of a thing. It was more like, I think Micah Parsons put out a statement that was probably written by his agent or something, you know,
right.
You know, he wants to win there and bring a championship and, you know, that was tough to hear. But I guess that's what happens when you lose something, you know, when you're not supposed to, and, you know, an underdog takes you out of the playoffs when it was supposed to be your year, you know, and, you know, but anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Life of a Dallas Cowboy fan, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, those Packers are not underdogs anymore, man. As we move into next year,
right?
You know, those guys are going to be loaded. Well, you know, me as a Vikings fan, yeah. I got to see them twice a year. I got to see the Lions twice a year.
Yeah.
You know, that's four games that you know, is definitely going to be tough to come by. And things are looking bleak. I mean, being a Viking, I know nobody wants, you know, in Texas wants to hear about the Vikings right now. But, you know, we're talking about assessing, you know, organizational structure. We got to make a decision on Kirk Cousins. You know, we got to make a decision on Brian Flores and how many assets can we add defensively, because I think he did a hell of a job coaching up that defensive unit.
Yeah.
And you know, I think our limitations happen offensively. I was not pleased with when Kirk Cousins went out that every single quarterback that took a snap after him was not prepared to the fullness of their capabilities. And that reflects on Kevin O'Connell. I mean, at the end of the day, he was a former quarterback in the NFL, and if he's going to be involved in calling the plays, then the expectations are going to be high for him. You know, me as a Vikings fan, as a coach, and understanding.
Yeah,
absolutely. Weapons galore, you know. And so you look at the offensive side, you know, the future can be bright, you know, but definitely got to restore some confidence from a fan's perspective. But you know, that's the life of a Vikings fan as well. Skull.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's hard being Dallas fans and Vikings fans. But again, like I said, could be a Vikings fan, you know?
Well, I could be like everybody else and, you know, all of a sudden become Chiefs fans. Like, I'm going through
the bandwagon.
I'm going through, like, South Texas right now, like, seeing different Chiefs memorabilia. I'm like, hold up. Like, that wasn't here, Texas, 5 years ago.
Texas' own Patrick Mahomes, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess so. Guns up. Yeah, I guess so. Well, Coach, I definitely enjoy talking, you know, football. You know, I definitely enjoy the NFL. Let's jump into a little bit something that you know, why we're doing this endeavor. You know, you and I share some interest in this spreading positive messages, you know, and, you know, I want to say a couple of years ago that I took on an endeavor of gaining a master's degree in new media journalism, with the understanding that nowadays, you know, as a high school coach, like that, it's important to put out your own messages, control your narrative, if you will, push your triumphs, you know, promote your kids, and you know, this endeavor that we're doing now is kind of like a glimpse of what can happen. You know, talk to me about the importance of it, branding that's been in your career and what you've done in your endeavors.
Branding is a big deal. I mean, your reputation is what you have, I guess, you know, as far as people you've worked for and people you've worked with, you know, and I think that I've had a pretty good ability of my brand to be a positive, you know, player friendly, building it, being able to build relationships. And at the end of the day, that's really what it's about. You know, I mean, we talk about, a lot of kids in this, in society today, they don't have that father figure at home or there's a lot of the whole, you know, kind of letting kids do what they want just because you don't want to avoid, you know, certain things and at home or, you know, there's not as much, discipline and things as there was back in when we were kids, you know? I mean, if you did something wrong at school, like, you're going to hear about it when you get home, you know? And my mom and dad definitely weren't going to call the school and ask the teacher what they did to get me upset, you know, or whatever the case might be, which is something that happens quite a bit now, you know? As far as putting out a brand and putting out, I guess now it's content, you know, you put out content, you put out things that are important to you and whatever that is, but just having an outlet, you know, to be able to speak your truths and just what comes to your mind. I mean, and more than anything, it's just having those relationships, you know, as I was thinking about the podcast and starting it, you know, I send out a few texts to people that I know just from different professions and, things like that, and they're all about wanting to jump on, you know. Yeah, come on, you know. It's kind of weird because one of the, you know, shout out to Rudy Rodriguez, played linebacker for me about 15 years ago, I call him my spiritual advisor, you know, because even when he was in school, he was a big Christian, you know, and a very, very, very faithful person at a very young age, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'd have some pretty deep conversations about what that was. And so from time to time, he'd just shoot me a text, you know, maybe a scripture or a link to a video. And I'd do the same for him, you know. And I saw, when we were starting this, I said, that's the type of kid that I want to put on, or the type of man, I guess he's a man, grown man, that I want to put on our podcast, you know, because he does have a story to tell, and he does have a great faithfulness, you know, which I think is important in life as a man, you know, is having faith. But it's also talks to the relationships that you make with kids as a coach, you know. There's numerous amount of kids, especially, you know, like I said, I don't like social media per se, but it's a way to keep in contact with the kids that have come before. And, you know, there was a young lady the other day who got her nursing degree. So I just put congratulations on her post or whatever. And so she sent me a pretty, pretty nice message about telling me I was more than just a teacher and how, you know, being positive with her and things like that had affected, you know, when things were tough or whatever, that she would think about that, you know, and that means a lot because, you know, it wasn't any, you know, I didn't treat her any different than anybody else, but for her, that was something special. And that, you know, I mean, she's a successful person and a mother, and I'm glad to see kids have success. And that's really what it's about. You know, we want kids to grow up and be good fathers and mothers and, you know, things like that. And, you know, I had an old coach tell me one time where, you know, it was a play, we lost in the third round of the playoff, and, we're devastated, you know, because, you know, you start to believe that you might have a chance, you know. And at the end of the game, he's like, this is the worst thing that ever happens to you. You've lived a good life, you know. Like, what does that mean, you know? But 10 years later, you're like, oh, shoot, yeah, that wasn't really that bad compared to, you know, being able to put food on the table or, you know, a family member that's sick or, you know, it's all about perspective, you know. And sometimes, you know, we're worried about ourselves and our situation, but everybody's going through something, you know, regardless of whether we know or not, you know, and sometimes we're able to rip the, you know, look behind the curtain with kids and even other adults, you know, fellow coaches and people that we're with that, some of them are going through some things, you know, and, and the relationship that we have are hopefully positive and sometimes can get people through those things, you know, and that's to me the most important thing that we do, you know.
Coach, yeah, I will tell you that I had a really interesting conversation one time with Northside ISD's athletic director, Stan Lang. And he talked about how coaching is one of the biggest missionary works of our time. And, you know, we chatted about the different, you know, the different impact that a coach can have in on their community, you know. And, you know, we both have our experiences of how we've transformed lives. One of the things that I gravitated to you is that a lot of the relationships you build is not transactional. It's transformational, you know, and I gravitate to those folks. I don't really like the transactional approach. To me, you know, I really feel like I'm paying it forward for the men that help mold me to who I am. You know, I have coaches that have gone far and beyond their call of duty or their scope of responsibilities, if you will. So, you know, so when I hear, you know, testimonies like yours and I hear, you know, the conversations that I had, you know, with Coach Lang, you know, I think about like, it's important for me to stay engaged in this process and stay building those relationships. Because, you know, our kids right now need us now more than ever, you know. Statistically, I'm not going to say anything that, you know, will bite me in the butt, but I will tell you, like, there are a lot of fatherless homes, you know. It's evident, you know, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it's evident. We see it in our schools, especially in the inner city, small rural towns. It's very evident. And the impact of a coaching person / father goes far and beyond the X's and O's, you know. And, you know, it's about instilling discipline, holding them accountable, you know, being hard on them with that accountability, but at the same time taking the time to show love and gratitude and just showing your vulnerabilities, right? Us as men, we have to be able to know how to do that. Showing your vulnerabilities is one of the biggest things you can do to aid in somebody's development. You know, because as men, you know, we get caught up in this machismo, you know, mentality. You know, men don't cry, men don't show any vulnerabilities and things of that nature. But in reality, like, we do. You know, and it's important for us to share that and know and allow our students to know how to deal with that, or allow our athletes to know how to deal with that. And that's probably one of the biggest things that we can be impactful in our community. And, you know, I know that, you know, coaching is tough. You know, it's very demanding, especially a lot of people don't know that we're not just coaches, man. We have a full classroom. We have classroom responsibilities. You know, we're up there in the summers. We don't take summers off. You know, we're in strength and speed and conditioning. Some of us, you know, are doing, you know, other academic duties and such. And so, it's really tough to be in this profession, but to know and to hang your head on that you're changing lives and that it's a transformational experience, not a transactional relationship, that kind of helps you stay engaged with what we're doing here. Because now more than ever, you know, people are leaving the profession in droves and it's hard to replace, you know, great coaches. You know, a lot of them get burnt out. A lot of them are maybe want to, you know, concentrate on raising their own children, you know, or start a new endeavor, like a new business and such. So, I'm here to tell you as you know, hear my voice, guys, you know, it's tough, you know, to stay engaged, but understand that because these conversations that we're having right now, and the type of impact that we can have our communities, that the kids need us now more than ever.
Yeah, it's I mean, we're playing an important role. And I mean, almost any person you ask, you know, who is their biggest influence? I mean, it's almost always a coach, you know, and just because we do spend, you know, I mean, to be quite honest, sometimes more time than we spend with our own families, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, that's a very tough balance, you know, that sometimes that, you know, as a go-getting coach, like I, you know, here we go, like, you know, a lot of times I'd be up and doing work for longer than probably I needed to. And it's finding that balance, you know, of knowing when to say, you know what, I'm not gonna make that because I got to take care of family stuff. You know, and family always comes first, you know. But sometimes the there's a blur there, you know, because those kids become your family, the coaches become your family, you know, and you know, it's just
it's not a 9-to-5 thing, folks. For those that don't understand coaching. You know, it is, if you're good at what you do, you're always going to spend a lot more time in that profession. So for us, you know, so many people revolve around our scope of responsibilities, you know, parents, students, fellow teachers, administrators, like there's so many relationships, so many dynamics in this profession. So yeah, it can be long, strenuous hours, you know, and We let's talk about that Dez Bryant video.
Oh yeah,
you know, it kind of leading into that. You know, now that we're talking about this, if you folks haven't heard of that Dez Bryant video, that he came on the Pivot podcast, you know, and he talked about breaking your generational curses. Now, for copyright purposes, we can't air everything here.
It would be great.
Yeah, but if you can, Google it. It's on the Pivot. Dez Bryant talks about breaking generational curses. And, you know, to kind of paraphrase it, you know, setting the tone for your children as a parent, setting the tone for your student athletes as a coach is what I really took out of it. Not having that voice, that every time that we set the tone, that our voice can carry a lot of weight, that they either can become their critic, their inner voice can become their critic, or their biggest supporter, you know. And so it was very, very powerful to hear his testimony to that. You know, talk to me a little bit about how you felt, because I know you shared that with me.
Yeah.
It kind of resonates.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to share this with Salazar. But I think he said that the question was something like, how did you break your generational curses? And, you know, sometimes that's not really things that we think about, you know what I mean? But we'd like to be, you know, first he said, you know, don't yell at your kids first thing in the morning, because you're the first person they see, you know. And of course, thinking for my own kids, you know, is in the morning saying good morning, you know, how's it going? You know, what you got going on today? Just being positive, you know, with my own children. But then the same thing with kids that we come across on at school. A lot of times, you know, we're the first people they see coming into the door, and, you know, mm-hmm. You know, I, you know, they joke about me all the time about being an energy giver and an energy zapper, you know, but mm-hmm. it's a real thing, you know. And so a lot of times you're the first person they see, the first person they hear. And if it's all negative, like you could ruin someone's day. But at the same mm-hmm. time, you could give somebody a positive. I mean, you could start their day on the right foot. I mean, maybe they weren't having a good day from the time they got off the school bus, but once they see you, it completely changes. You know, and it's just a powerful thing that we have the ability to do that to people and to our own kids and to our students, you know. You know, I thought that was very powerful. And then how you know, I talked about being the inner voice and not the critic, you know, because I think you can't fool kids, you know. Shout out to Coach Cantu. Buddy of mine for since we were kids, and he told me one time, you can't fool the kids, you know, you can't fool the kids, and they're going to know whether you care or not. You know what I mean? They're going to know whether you're invested or not. And so not just from the perspective of our own families, but the student athletes that we come across. If you're fake with an athlete, they know, like, they know that you're not genuinely invested in them, and they're not going to care what you say until they know that you care who they are, you know. And that's another mm-hmm. cliche saying, but it's really true. And I mean, I just thought it was very powerful as a man to hear those things, you know, the way he put the perspective of how to break those generational curses, where I mean, it's really up to us every day how we're going to live our life, right? I mean, or how you're going to approach the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the older we get and, you know, I mean, you're tired, you're stressed, you're, you know, and, you know, you're, you know, you get you can get down that hole real quick, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something as men, and even coaches that we don't talk a lot about, but I mean, you know, just because, like you said, it's this machismo world where you're not allowed to feel that way, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's a real feeling sometimes for people. I mean, I was a social worker before I was a coach, you know, I don't know if you knew that about me, but, you know, there's a lot of things that people are going through, you know what I mean? That, mm-hmm. that we're so closed off to understanding and knowing. I mean, our kids come in the door, you know, as far as students, and they may have a dirt floor, you know, they may not have electricity, like, you know, and then sometimes it's, you just don't realize the impact that you can have on somebody like that, you know?
Right.
And for those kids, it's an uphill battle from the moment they're born. You know what I mean? And so if you can give them some type of positive, you know, just for participation, being a team, being a part of a family is such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful thing. And I, you know, and that's what we do, what we do, you know? I mean, obviously, you know, as I've gotten farther in this and, you know, my son's going to be a freshman, and it's almost like a crossroads, you know, because I got, you know, I need to invest in him, you know. I want him to be a good man and a good person, and, mm-hmm. and you know, it's not like I'm not around, but you know, do I need to be more around him? Do I need, you know, because you know, it's as a coach, you know, when they're able to tell you, Dad, you're gonna be able to make it to that, and you're like, you know, I got a game or, you know, I have practice, you know, it sometimes can be hard, you know. I've been very fortunate where Coach Martinez, our athletic director, shout out to Coach Martinez, big mentor. And you want to talk about a guy who builds relationships. That's, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
he gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it for sure.
There's sometimes where I want to jump in the game, you know, after hearing him speak, but yeah, he's been really good about, you know, and there's a lot of coaches like that where there's mm-hmm. going to be family time that you're going to miss. Go do it. You know what I mean?
I've been real appreciative to see that aspect with Coach Martinez, and you know, pretty much a directive saying, "I'm gonna fire your asses if you don't go see your son play."
So he told me it's non-negotiable, and I was like, it's, "Yes, sir."
You know? I shout out to Coach Barón mm-hmm. at South Sand High School. You know, we had circumstances where some of our coaches didn't have the childcare that was readily available for just tough circumstances. And so we had our kids that needed to be there, and it didn't distract us one bit from what the objective was. But, you know, going back to that machismo, perspective, you know, we're talking about a dude and Des Bryant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who got emotional.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
And he talked about, he didn't have that growing up. That he yearned for that, and he wanted it, and it was important for him to instill that in his kids, and that was really a big takeaway that I got from.
And it almost was it almost seemed like he was like he had to self-reflect, you know, mm-hmm. because I think that he was heading toward that generational curse, you know, of yelling at the kids and or his kids and. You know, being negative in the mornings and, you know, just, you know, those kind of things. I mean, and of course, you know, I mean, parents get stressed and we're dealing with a lot of stuff. But just the impact that you can have on your kids just from the start of the day, I thought it was a very powerful video. If you get a chance again on the Pivot podcast, Des Bryant, he also talks about how they stopped throwing him the ball, and they kind of blackballed him, which was interesting. But he did catch it too in that playoff game.
Coach, I'm not a Cowboy fan, but I agree that was a catch. If you catch that, if it's ruled a catch, that season probably ends with the Super Bowl. I believe that. You know, the other thing is, I'm just making a side note. You know, the year that Tony Romo got hurt and that came in, I think that's probably another opportunity for a Super Bowl. That's how well they were playing. But going back to that, I was wowed by it. You know, it definitely puts things in perspective, and it kind of challenges you as a teacher and coach, you know, to assess, am I giving that to my family? You know, because, you know, I had a very, very important person. I had a teammate that highly successful, you know, in real estate right now. He used to work for USAA, made a name for himself, Marcus Miller. And he talked about, you know, four things that are important to him, you know, and that should be important to everybody. He talked about his faith, you know, he talked about his family, talked about fitness and finances, you know, and
yeah, no, you
those
me,
four
you
things.
Told me that as, a couple as, weeks ago when you talked about it, and I was like, man, you know, getting up there in age, and like, I mean, those are the four things if you don't keep in balance, you know, I mean, you know, family, faith, finances, fitness. I mean, I because if any one of those, you know, after you told me about that, if any one of those things is off, like, it affects the other one. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, if your faith is off, it affects your family. If your fitness is off, it affects your faith, your family. I mean, just it's all your finance. I mean, it's just incredible philosophy.
Yeah, it definitely makes up a well-balanced, total, wholesome person. You know, and those are things that, you know, we on this podcast want our fellow coaching brethren to implore and just, you know, really focus and hone in on those four things. And continue to fight the good fight. You know, we're going to have a lot more of sharing our experiences and our analytics or analyzing assessments of football and sharing, you know, different life experiences, you know, to kind of help, you know, build this coaching community. That's what we're here to do. We build community. So, I definitely appreciate, you know, the opportunity to work with you on this, Albie. And I look forward to more of engaging, you know, philosophical talks and of course our friendly fun banter.
Yeah. No, I think we could go on for hours, I think, but most people's commute, what is the average of 25 minutes or something like that? So if we can keep it under an hour, you can listen to the whole thing on the way to work and back from work. No, thanks for being on here. You know, I'm hoping to get some guests lined up and hopefully get some people on, whether they be in person here at the man cave, or even remotely, which you know, I think it's going to be pretty convenient. Man, I'm excited about it. I think you know, this was just our first run. You know, the topics will get more expansive, and you know, hopefully, like I said, we get some guests on, you know, and expand on that, and just give perspective on life, man. I mean, you know, just. You know, we're getting older, and we have some thoughts in our heads, and sometimes it's just a matter of getting them out, you know. Yeah, man, great time, fun. I had a lot of fun doing it.
Absolutely. There's tons to talk about. Yeah. We didn't even touch on the Spurs. Oh, right? We didn't touch on the Spurs. You know, we didn't touch on, you know, how NIL is working in this world right now, the college atmosphere. We didn't talk about our journey, you know, our journey and how we can help our kids, you know, discover who they want to be. You know, that's a big part of the education process and such. But, you know, if you like what you hear, definitely shout us out on our social media. You know, we're about that action. That's for sure. And we appreciate you joining us on this session. And we look forward to sharing more of our experiences with you guys.
Yeah, and we'll catch the second half of this game. 20-7 Lions right now. They just scored. So
I'm looking good on DraftKings, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, I stopped doing DraftKings because I was just losing every time. But then maybe because I was picking nothing but Cowboys there for a couple of weeks. But thanks again, Coach Salazar. Ivan, appreciate you coming on. And hopefully this is the first of many podcasts coming at you. You know, we'll be sharing the link on our social media. It'll be available on Spotify, YouTube, and your other podcast links. Let us know. We do have our Twitter and our YouTube channel also that we'll be sharing, Facebook page that I'll be sharing with you also. So subscribe and like and hopefully we'll get some feedback and then how we can make it better. And some people maybe that you want to hear from, would love to be able to get them on if possible. So appreciate you. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. Action.